Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
Afternoon, Mairead.
Good afternoon to you, Sean.
Nice.
You're dead right. I did. You talked about the yawning. It was so funny. I found myself yawning and I just wondered, did the same thing apply to humans?
Is it a nice day down there?
It's a glorious day. It's absolutely gorgeous. Sure, everything, it could be spilling rain here now and we'd be all in a very good humour in Limerick. So the weather is just adding to the sheer
this
joy.
This is just God congratulating you, basically.
Exactly, yeah. It's a day, now it's, mind you, it's a day for Ballybunion, if you could get over there.
Yeah.
And farmers really should get out there and go to the beach and go to the scenic spots and do the Wild Atlantic Way, because things, grass is growing well, second cut silage is in, animals are really happy. You know, you'll hardly look, if you drive down the roads now, the motorways in particular, and look out onto the fields, most of the cattle are all sitting down, chewing the cud, happy out. So it's a nice time of the year and a time to look after yourself and, you know, just generally take a bit of time off. There'll be plenty of work to be done in the winter and you don't need to be doing it now.
Right. Notwithstanding all of that, you're a wee bit vexed about the hedges.
Well, I am actually now, because I suppose I could go walk around the farm for my walk, and I try to do 6 kilometres a day. And you can do that, but you could end up getting your foot hooked in a pothole or something like that. Now, this is beyond the farm and, you know, it's harder to walk land than it is on the public road. But down around here anyway, and I presume it's a fact with most of the country, well, there's rules there anyway. The thing is that farmers, they're not allowed to cut hedges until after the 31st of August, and they can do it up to the 28th of February. But that means that all the growth that came during the summer on the verges, the road verges, is still there and will be there for another week. Another week at this stage. And it's made walking on the road really difficult for walkers, because I would reckon on any given stretch of country road, there's about a metre's worth of growth after happening that is really stopping the visibility of people when they're walking and the traffic, oncoming traffic to see them. And if farmers, you know, people give out about farmers not cutting the hedges, but they're really, the rules are quite strict. And there are penalties if you cut outside the given times. There are exemptions, and that's mainly for, you know, they are for road safety. But where we see them in operation here is it's road safety around road junctions. You know, you're turning left or right or going straight on or one, you know, junctions. Because honest to God, you couldn't see a thing. You'd have to pull half the car out or if you were driving. And then if you're walking, you know, there's a lack of visibility of the walkers. So I really, there's about 300,000 kilometres of hedges in the country. And the hedges, you know, take away motorways and all of that sort of stuff. You're not talking about an awful lot of hedges. And I think for personal safety, both for vehicle drivers and for walkers, you know, they should consider looking at that date a little bit closer again. Because you can't step into a hedge so you can't see where your feet are going to land if there's a car or a lorry coming against you on a narrow country road. And, you know, having the verges cut in timely manner, I think make an awful lot of difference to safety and to near accidents and to, you know, the sheer stress of driving on roads, not knowing what's going to be around the corner.
Who decides on that, Mairead, anyway, by the way?
I don't know whether it's the Department of Agriculture or the Environment, but I mean, the rule is there. You can't cut until after the 31st of August, and then you can cut up until the 28th of February. You can only avoid doing that if for certain exemptions, and the main exemption is road safety. So that exemption is already there, but it's used nearly exclusively to the, you know, you're coming up to a crossroads and there's a sign there. But that takes into account a lot of the danger for cars, but it doesn't take into account a lot of the dangers for walkers. And certainly I see around here, there's far fewer people out walking now because they just can't risk it because the traffic volume has, you know, doubled up again. And, you know, it's gone back to normal levels. So, like, I mean, I think I was saying before, there was a stretch of road that I walk on that I often wondered why I never walked on it before. It was a grand straight stretch and plenty of houses on it and plenty of people to kind of talk to. And I haven't walked it since June, May, June, because it's just, the traffic has just mounted up on it. And it's got so much busier that you'd be taking your life in your hands.
Yeah, yeah, indeed. Now, also staying with the subject of danger, a slurry, we have spoken about this before, but it's worth repeating it.
Yeah, it was slurry is odorless and colorless. It's you know, a fume that is both odorless and colorless, which makes it very dangerous for humans to be around. And every year there's nearly some serious accident with regards to agitating slurry and the fumes knocking people out, or in the worst case scenario, actually people dying as a result of it. So there's last week there was, you know, just as a reminder on how simple things can happen, there was a case above in Longford. A farming family, they had a really lucky escape. The farmer was finishing up milking in the morning. He was, the last 8 cows were going out at the parlour. And at the same time, the contractor was agitating slurry, which is basically stirring it to kind of give it an even texture, about 100 metres away, just over the yard. And somehow or another, the fumes came back towards the milking parlour and they knocked out the farmer and he was unconscious. And a family member who was visually impaired went to get help, and the farmer's wife found her husband and, you know, unconscious, and tried to rescue him. And immediately she was rendered unconscious as well.
Crikey.
Now, they were very, very lucky that there were other family members about and people coming into the yard. It was a busy yard and they were rescued. And they came too, but it was a very, very near miss. And it's just to remind people that if you're going and walking with slurry, to tell somebody where you are, and, you know, to just be incredibly careful. I mean, the man who was milking the cows, he didn't see, he didn't smell the gas, he didn't see the gas. And he didn't think there could be any problem. It's probably something that's been done for years.
Mm.
And then his wife then to be also knocked out. You know, if there'd been nobody else in the yard at the time, where would they be now? So, again, it's just a reminder to farmers to be very, very careful around spreading slurry, and to remember it's odourless and it's invisible, and as such is a really, really serious threat.
Right. OK, now they're getting more cattle in Brazil.
Well, if you want now to agitate a group of farmers, this is how you'll do it. You'll tell them about Brazil and their extra cattle. I think farmers are very confused about what the EU and the government plans are, especially when it comes to cutting carbon emissions by cutting back on Irish livestock numbers. And why are they confused? Well, you know, here in Ireland, we're asking the 12-cow man in Belmullet to give up a cow or two and have them culled more or less, or to cut back on numbers. And in the meantime, you have Brazil forecasting an absolute explosion in its cattle herd size. And Brazil is one of the biggest cattle producers in the world, absolutely huge. And what they're planning to do now is they're going to, listen to this, they're going to expand the numbers by 24 million cattle. 24 million.
Mm.
Now, actually, I'm not sure even if it's herds, if it's cattle or cows. It could be cows. 24 million. It's an annual growth of 25% a year up to 2030. And you tell that, you explain how that can be happening to the suckler farmer, as I said, in Belmullet, who's been told his 10 suckler cows are destroying the planet. To put it in perspective, it's this, the increase in numbers they're talking about is 25 times the size of our own suckler cow population in this country. And it's a great report by Declan O'Brien and Phelim O'Neill in this week's Farmers Journal. And every farmer should read it and put it to their politicians. But the country's national herd will go to over 210 million cows by 2030. And it comes when the level of deforestation hits a 12-year high. It hit it there last year in 2020. An area the size of Mayo and Galway was stripped to extend the grazing ground for these cattle. So the farm organisations are warning that cutting back the numbers here will lead to carbon leakage by shifting productions to regions that are not as carbon efficient as we are. Like, according to the UN, the average greenhouse gas footprint for beef produced in Western Europe is 2.5 times less than the global average and over 3 times less than beef produced in Latin America.
Right.
And, you know, it really is reducing the beef and dairy production in Ireland is not going to reduce global production of these products.
But will it make any difference whatsoever? Brazil doesn't care how many cows we have. They're going to do what they do.
Yeah, but I mean, here, you know, farmers are really feeling very, very frustrated and very confused. And after getting efficiency levels up in particularly in the dairy sector since the quotas were gone or were abandoned, now they're being told to farm mainly for the environment and to hell with production. And in the meantime, this is going on. So you're only
The European Union's no control over what Brazil does.
And no, like they
that,
don't.
All that tells them is that the European Union cares about climate change. Brazil's run by a cut-rate version of Trump who doesn't give a damn about climate change.
Well, exactly. He doesn't give a damn. And then you end up here, we end up paying for it.
We're all going to end up paying for it. That's for sure. The entire planet will end up paying for it.
Exactly, yeah. But I mean, to have 24 million extra cattle, that's the numbers that they are pushing for by between now and the next 9 years. What is that, did I say? 25 times the size of our total suckler cow herd in this country. And that's just the additional cattle that they're planning on there, not what they have already, which comes to about 210 million.
Absolutely.
So I think, you know, they're the broader questions that need to be answered. You can't be just looking at a thing in a microcosm. You know, you have to understand what the global thing is as well. And you know, when you see that going on, you just try and convince an Irish farmer that giving up 2 cows of these 12 sucklers is going to save the planet is very, very difficult.
Right. Now, somebody was on to us asking about robins.
That's right. Yeah. Robins are lovely little birds and they're as friendly. And if you're out digging in the garden, they're there. They're opportunists. They'd love to get a little worm that you dig up and eat it. And there's your whole recycling going on. And they live all year here. They don't really go away. They don't go far either. They're generally found within 5 kilometres of where they originated from. And they're little birds of urban and rural. You know, they make their home anywhere, really. And they're great little singers as well. And they keep singing all through the winter to keep in mind on the territory. They're pretty territorial little things. And they're also not choosy about what they eat. They'll eat seeds and fruit and insects and worms, and they love mealworms. So the other little thing about them, they don't have terribly long lives. And I would have thought I was dealing with the same little robin out here for a couple of years.
Yeah.
But it's they're very high mortality. They start building nests early and they start having clutches. I mean, they can have 5 broods in the one season. So getting them through the winter and the spring and that time, it kind of plays havoc on them, and not many of them survive. So, you know, the average would be they'd live for about 18 months.
That's mad now, because there's a robin I see in my backyard. I thought it was the same robin. Probably isn't. Probably.
Yeah, well, no, it might be and it mightn't be, but robins recognise faces. And I got a great example of that. I was doing a garden feature on a man by the name of Frank Costello. He's garden here in Limerick. And anyway, this little robin had made friends with him because he was out in the garden a lot and had followed him into the house. And there, sure enough, we were inside looking out. And the next thing, the robin hopped up to the window, came in the door and hopped up onto Frank's shoulder and was quite happy watching us talking away and not a bother on him. But the other thing about stories about robins, when I came here 35 years ago now, would you believe it? We had very good neighbours down the road, lovely people, Sullivans are their names. And I remember walking down to visit them, and I had been telling them about this little robin that we were feeding outside the front door. And, you know, they'd nearly talk to you, they'd nearly sit on your hand. And this Mrs. Sullivan, who was a very shrewd woman, she said to me, "Oh," she says, "congratulations, that's a sure sign that you're pregnant."
And?
We had only found out a couple of days beforehand.
Right, so we have to leave it there, Mairead, but it's a good lesson there. If you don't want to get pregnant, stay away from the robins in your back garden. Right, you are listening to the Moncrief Show on News Talk. We have to take a break after that. Being gay, black and a Church of England minister.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.